1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through the end of the chapter. Of course, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and obviously he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says this in his letter to them. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now that's a good phrase to underline. I have it underlined in my Bible, and it challenges me. It challenges me on a regular basis when I read it. Temperate, in all things. Now they, those that run in this race he's talking about, do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And as again, we'll speak on the subject, be an Olympian Christian. Let's pray and we'll jump right into it. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word, to share it with thy people. I pray that you'll be with us now. I pray that you would superintend these next moments as we look at Scripture, consider its words and its admonitions and its meanings. Father, we just pray, as Brother Paul said a moment ago, Lord, we need you, we want you, and we ask you to help us this evening. Help us to be, indeed, Olympian Christians. And we'll certainly give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I certainly love this portion of Scripture. In many ways, it challenges me when I read it. I love in these last few verses the word pictures that the Apostle Paul gives us as he relates the Christian life to that of some, I'll use the word, sporting events. He kind of ties in and correlates the Christian life to sporting events. And if we go back and look at this passage again, he says in verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race?" And so here we see Paul lining the Christian or comparing the Christian life rather to that of a race. And then he goes on and says, verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." Then he says, "So fight I." And then he gives the further, he adds to it by saying, "Not as one that beateth the air." Now, that's what we call shadow boxing. You're not really facing an opponent. You're just shadow boxing. You're just throwing your punches. You're practicing your moves, so to speak. But there's no opponent in front of you. You're not landing a punch on anybody's lip. You're not landing your punch on anybody's eye or nose or tummy. You're just shadow boxing. You're just beating the air, as Paul says. He says, "Well, I want to tell you something. I'm not just beating air. I'm in a real fight." And he says, "When I run, I'm not just doing a sack run with my friend. I'm running to win. I'm running to win." That reminds me of a radio program by who is it again? Yes, Erwin Lutzer, former pastor of Moody Bible Church. Running to win. He has that radio program. That's where his title comes from, this passage here. So he talks about running a race. He talks about fighting or boxing. And also, we won't turn to it here, but in Timothy, when he wrote the letter to Timothy, he said, I've finished the fight. I've kept the faith and so on. But he talks about a fight. And again, We could talk about combat or we could talk about boxing. And so here we have this comparison of the Christian life to that of sporting events. But before I get into that, I want to just bring out a couple words in the passage once again. Some words that really challenge me. In the end of verse 24, he says, "So run," he gives this admonition, "so run that you may obtain." What is it that we're running? Why are we running? We're running to obtain. And what is it we want to obtain? We want to obtain that prize or that reward or that crown that he speaks of here, and we'll say more about that in a second. Other words that really challenge me, verse 25, every man that striveth. Notice that word striving, striveth. To me, that paints the picture of really, really giving your all, of really putting some effort into it, of really pushing yourself beyond your limits, so to speak, striving. And then there's the word right after that coming up, the word mastery. Mastery. Boy, what a challenge it is. If you ever want to have a personal challenge, take this challenge, and we ought to all take this challenge because as Christians, we should live, watch this word now because we don't use it much anymore, we should live disciplined lives. Disciplined lives. We impose self-discipline on ourselves, and boy, we're going to talk about that in a moment too because isn't that what the Olympians did and do? That they exercise great discipline so that they can strive and try to obtain that prize. And so he talks about the mastery, mastering your own body. That would be a great challenge for us all. Mastering everything we say, mastering this tongue. We spoke about that a couple Wednesdays ago. Mastering our appetites, whether it be food appetites or other physical appetites of what we see, hear, taste, and watch and places we go. Just controlling the appetites. Mastering self. Then he says, temperate. This is the phrase I mentioned a moment ago, underline your Bible. Temperate in all things. Of course, we understand being temperate, we're careful not to go to extremes. We temper what it is, again, what we watch, what we say, what we hear, what we taste, what we eat, drink, etc. Temperate in all things. And then he says, and then verse 27, I keep under my body. Now, we don't talk like that necessarily, but basically what he's saying was, I keep my body under control. I keep my body, and we'll use this little picture, word picture here, I keep my body right there. I keep my body under. You know, Brother Howells preached a great message one time many years ago. The title of it was The Spirit-Led, Soul-Led Body. And he said the proper order of how we should live our Christian lives is that the Spirit is in control. Duh, obviously. And the Spirit controls the soul or the mind or the intellect or the heart. And then that controls the body. He said, typical Americans have that completely switched over. Most of us are slaves to our body. We let our body control us rather than the soul and ultimately the spirit. Shame on us. Shame on us. Our body ought not to control us. That's just, when your body controls you, that means you just give in to every lust. You give in to every want. You give in to every temptation. Doesn't matter whether you should have that, eat that or not. You just eat it anyway because your body wants it. Doesn't matter if you should take that forbidden whatever. It might be someone else's mate, but you want it and so you do it. Your body is controlling you. That's not the way we live, folks, as Christians. Our body is to be kept under. It's supposed to be disciplined. It's supposed to be controlled. And it's supposed to be controlled by walking in the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. And controlling. And boy, that's again, that's just picturesque of how Olympians train. Again, we're going to get to that in a second. But those are the, he goes on to say, keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Amen. Bring it into subjection. Control that body. Control that flesh. Bring it under subjection of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he says, why? Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. So I hope that I've pointed out some interesting phrases, some interesting words. Those are words and phrases that really challenge me. And I pray that they would challenge you as well as we seek to live this Christian life. Well, as I said, we want to be an Olympian Christian. You know, in sporting events, there are two groups of people. There are those that are participating, they're participants, they're on the field, they're on the track, they're in the ring. Then there are those that are what? Spectators. Spectators. Now, you may not know this or understand this. Hope you do. You, as a born-again believer, are in a race. We're in a race. And the moment you said, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm going to hell, and I know that I don't deserve to be saved, but I'm trusting your sacrifice and your shed blood and your payment on my behalf, and I'm trusting you and you alone. Please come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sins. Be my Savior. Take me to heaven when I die. Amen." Right then, your foot was on the racetrack. You are in a race. Paul says we're in a race. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. We're in a boxing match. We are in a race. Now, the funny thing is, we as born-again Christians participating in a race, many times we act like spectators. Again, I must say, shame on us when we're spectating from the spectator stands when we should be running the race that God has set before us. We should be running. We must be running. And boy, there's so many different rabbit trails we could take right about now. Because God has a purpose for us. God has a plan for us. God wants us to accomplish something. He put us here for a reason. We're sucking God's air for a reason. Don't be spectators. I don't want to be a spectator. Sad to say, at times I behave like a spectator. When is that? Well, when I don't keep my body under. When I fail to put my body in subjection and my body says, "Oh, I feel like resting right now. Oh yeah, maybe it's a good idea. I think I'll rest when I should be running." Resting when I should be running. And so as Christians in a race, sometimes we act like spectators. You know, many spectators at a sporting event, this not 100%, but a large percentage of spectators in a sporting event have never once done what it is they're watching. Now that's not true when we talk about the spectators in the Christian world. Hold your place there. Let's go to another place that talks about this. Just a few books over to Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar passage. We'll come right back to Corinthians, so hold your place there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Again, I believe Paul wrote this book. There's controversy whether that be case or not, but it doesn't matter. That's who I think wrote it. So, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses or spectators." Now watch what he says. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Here we go. Here's our words. "And let us," what? "Run with patience," what? "The race that is set before us." Folks, we are in the race. Don't disagree with me. I'm telling you, we're in the race. Amen. And we can see that from Scripture. We're in the race. Verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus." Now there's the finish line. When we're running that race, and I'm going to tie all this in a few minutes here, I'm going to give you some points. We're going to hit all these things. I'm just kind of hit and miss all over the place right now, but we're going to go through 7 points that tie all these things in. But boy, as we're running a race, you don't see a person get down on those blocks. And they push off that back foot and man, they're out of there. You don't see them do that and then all of a sudden, seeing all their friends up in the stands and, "Hey, okay, I'm glad you made it," In the meantime, everybody's passing them by. The next thing, "Oh, what happened?" They just lost the race because they're goofing around. No. Paul said, look, we have to run that race. We have to run it hard and we have to keep our eye on that finish line, not looking around at the stands and waving. We have to see the finish line, see who's there waiting for us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He was there at the starting line and he's there at the finish line. He was there when you asked Jesus to save you. Obviously, he's there. He's also going to be there when we breathe our last breath and we appear and we're standing before him. He'll be there at the finish line. So keeping our eyes on the goal. He said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." Interesting, back in verse 1, Paul says this, lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. Again, as he makes this comparison to a race, you never see one of those sprinters that I tried to demonstrate down on the blocks. They usually have silk shorts, short shorts, and some kind of a real thin tank top, right? You've seen them. And lightweight running shoes, and I don't know whether they wear socks or not. If they do, they're those kind that barely come up out of the shoe, those anklets. You don't see them running with full rain gear and goulashes. You don't see them, you know, now sometimes people jog with these little wrist weights or ankle weights to increase the resistance and to build your muscles. But in a race, you don't wear those. In a race, you don't, like when I was in the Army, we had to run and so forth with full backpack and all the gear, combat boots, 27-mile run. I couldn't do a 7-mile run now. I couldn't do a 70-yard run. These guys that run these sprints, these races for prizes, you don't see them with a backpack on. You don't see them with goulashes or army boots. Paul said, no, you need to lay aside every weight that'll slow you down, every sin that will beset you, and run that race. So run that race that is set before you. Give it your all. Run it. Run your guts out. Give it everything you've got. Keep your eye on the finish line. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and give it all. Run. Run. Now that's illustrative of our Christian life. And so many of us are just moseying through. We're not running at all. And we've got the weights and we've got the sin and we're slowing us down in our race. We're participating in things that hinder us. We're watching things, listening to things, doing things, going places, eating things, all sorts of things that slow us down in our Christian life. Paul says, look, be an Olympian Christian. Why don't you look to the Olympian and see how he does and use that as a model for how you live your Christian life. And so with that, I'll give you these points now. That's the way we ought to be running. Before we get into that, let me just read, I want to read something to you here. Well, let's see. Yeah, let me read this here. The verse 24 says, they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize. Interesting thing about, let me just stop for a second. Interesting thing in this comparison he's making. These guys who run these races that he's speaking of, the literal Olympic races, only one will win the big prize. And not only that, it's an incorruptible, or it's a corruptible prize. We'll read that. When I read this, you'll see what the prize was. But it's only going to last for a few days, basically, and it's going to die. But he said, we run for an incorruptible prize. An incorruptible crown. I think last year I had a message and I taught about the five crowns that we see in Scripture. And that's a whole other lesson, I won't go there, but crown of righteousness, crown of rejoicing, five different crowns that we could possibly win or earn during this Christian life. Keeping in mind that when we get to heaven, we're not going to walk around, strutting around, wearing our crowns. We're getting those crowns for one reason and one reason only, to cast them at our Savior's feet. Amen. Boy, that'll be sweet. What a time that will be. If I could have more crowns than less to cast at His feet, that would be a blessing. It would be total shame to have zero crowns. And yet if we're not careful, if we continue to run like some of us are running, we're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat with no crowns. And I believe we will shed tears at that point. So I do want to have the prize. And the interesting thing is, we all can win. Because it's not you against me, like in those races, when they're lining up on the starting line and boom, the gun sounds and they all jet out of there. They're running one against the other. In this race, it's just me against me, I guess. It's me just doing the very best I can for my Lord Jesus and finishing my race. Not ahead of you, just finishing it. And then, hearing the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, receiving my crowns and say, Lord, thank you for the crown, but I'm not worthy. You certainly are. Boom, back at your feet. So anyway, let me read this here. So Paul's comparing it to a race, to a boxing match, combat, so forth. So of these Olympic Games, the most famous was held every fifth year at Olympia in the west of Peloponnese. Very famous and ancient also was the Isthmian Festival, held every 2 years at Isthmus, about 8 miles from and in full view of the city of Corinth. No doubt these are the games that Paul's referring to. Similar festivals were held at Nemamia and Delphi, but in these, the athletic element was less conspicuous. All athletes, competitors for prizes, had 10 months training under the direction of appointed teachers and under various restrictions of diet. At the beginning of the festival, they were required to prove to the judges that they were of pure Greek blood, had not forfeited by misconduct in the right of citizenship, and had undergone the necessary training. Then began the various contests in an appointed order. Of these, the oldest and most famous was the foot race. Others were wrestling, boxing, chariot, and horse racing. The prize, here's the prize I was talking to you about, the prize was a wreath or a crown made up of olive leaves. The giving of the prizes was followed by processions and sacrifices and by a public banquet to the conquerors. The whole festival at Olympia lasted 5 days. The importance of these athletic festivals in the eyes of the ancient Greeks is difficult to appreciate now. They were the great family gatherings of the nation, held under the auspices and under the shadow of the temples of their gods. The laws regulating them were held as binding by the various independent states of Greece. The month in which they were held was called a sacred month and was solemnly announced. And all war between Greek states ceased under pain of the displeasure of their gods, which the festival lasted. The festivals were attended by immense crowds from all the Greek states and from even from the most distant colonies. The various states sent embassies and vied with each other in the splendor of them and of the gifts they brought. The greatest cities thought themselves honored by the victory of a citizen. Let's see, I think that's all I want to read. Let me just see real quick. Yeah, that's it. So interesting. The contestants trained for 10 months. Of course, that's nothing as if we look at today's Olympians, they train for years. Some start early as, I don't know, children with, you know, and just train. 5 years old, 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, then enter the Olympics. And so just intense training, along with the training, of course, what else? Sacrifice, discipline, regiments, just so much. And we as Christians will do well to look at that kind of a lifestyle. Not that we should do over the top like that, but there's certainly something to be admired there, and certainly something that Paul is trying to get across to us here in 1 Corinthians 9. We need to go back there, by the way. In 1 Corinthians 9, that I think he wants us to gain from that and use that in our Christian lives. So let's consider being an Olympian Christian. First of all, we have to look at his exercises. The Christian life may be compared to, as I mentioned already, a race, a combat, a boxing match. Here's another one, a wrestling match. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wrestling match. But the conditions of success in these exercises, here's the conditions, and here's the 7 points I want you to see. The conditions of success. If I'm going to run this race, and if I have a hope of winning, and again, winning's not competition against you and you, but against me, just completing my own race. But I want to be successful. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to fall down and give up. I don't want to turn back and stop running. I don't want to surrender and just say, oh, this isn't worth it and quit. I want to run my race. And I want to run my race as I look to the finish line, the author and the finisher of my faith, Jesus Christ, and run all, give it my all. Well, my success is found in these seven things. First of all, personal mastery. Personal mastery. Some of these are overlapping, I suppose, but it's good to say seven of these different things. Personal mastery. We saw Paul use the words here in verse 25. And he said, "And every man that striveth," or he's running, he's giving his all, he says, "for the mastery." Personal mastery. Can you master yourself, friend? I want to tell you something. The day you decide you want to try to master yourself, look out, the fight is on. Because the devil doesn't want you to do that. The devil's very happy for you just to be lazy. He's very happy for you just to give in to your lust. He's very happy for you to love the temptation and just surrender to the temptation. He's very happy for you just to gorge yourself with all sorts of foods that maybe you shouldn't even have. Gluttony is a word that we Baptists don't talk about anymore. But listen, we need to learn once and for all to say enough is enough. When we're full, we're full. Don't just keep shoving it in. That's personal mastery. Said, look, I don't need that. I don't need that junk food. I don't need that sugar. I don't need to put that in my body. It's going to hinder me from running my race. Amen. I'm not angry with anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. But listen, we need to take care of this temple that God's given us. And personal mastery says, I've got to discipline myself to do what's right for this body. I don't want to be sick all the time. I don't want to be ailing. You know, I see out there in my job, I go to appointments with senior citizens, and most of these senior citizens are my age. A lot of them are my age. I didn't know I was a senior citizen. I guess I am. And I'm shocked at the people that are my age, or maybe just 5 years older, that their physical condition. And it just breaks my heart. And some of it is hereditary. I understand that. Not much you can do about that. Some of it are health issues that, how do you say, that it just came upon you maybe, or it was in your family, and so it kind of got passed down to you. But listen to me now. Listen, this is what we don't want to hear. A lot of illnesses are self-induced. I believe that with my heart. I believe that with all my heart. America, where'd this rabbit trail come from? I had no intention to say any of this. America is killing themselves. We are killing ourselves by the way we eat. Now, do you just think about that? Take that home and think about it. You think about it long enough, and you go on the little internet, and you Google some stuff, and learn, and you'll find a wealth of knowledge about what I'm talking about. It will prove that what I'm saying is correct. And the doctors love it, and the pharmacists love it, and the food industry loves it. They just keep pumping it out, we keep sucking it up, and we keep getting sick. Enough of that. That's not the message, I'm sorry. So personal mastery. We've got to come to the place where we say, look, who's in control of this body? I am! I'm in control! Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I subject my body to you, dear Jesus. Help me to control what I say, what I look at, what I eat, where I go, what I listen to. Everything! I must master myself. That is so important. And that's these Olympians. Boy, they're very careful what they watch and weigh everything that goes in their mouth. Everything that passes through their lips. They're not about to eat a piece of junk. Why? Because they're training for the Olympics. They want to win some stupid gold medal that will rust and corrupt. I just simply want to live for Jesus and finish my race and get a crown that will never corrupt. It'll last forever. And we need personal mastery. That's what Paul's trying to tell us here. I keep my body under. If I don't keep my body under, it'll just do what it wants. And we can't afford that. We cannot afford that. Number two, not only personal mastery, but moderation. Moderation, what's that mean? Well, it might mean perhaps it's okay to have a little whatever, but in moderation. Not liquor, of course. We don't touch liquor. But just moderation. Be moderate. Learn how to measure. Learn how to be moderate. Don't be gluttonous, in other words. Moderate yourself. Put some throttle on it, brother. Throttle yourself. Don't do like that. Have some moderation in your behavior. The third thing. So personal mastery, moderation, distinction or distinctness of aim. What is my goal? What is my goal? I said a moment ago when I line up in those starting blocks, the gun sounds. Those runners are not checking to see who's beside them. They're not looking back. They're not looking to the grandstands. Bless God, those runners are looking at that finish line and they're running their guts out to get there. They're giving it all they've got. They're thinking to themselves, I've trained for 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 years for this moment. Isn't that interesting that only one will win? Thank God our race isn't that way. We can all win. Amen. We can all win a prize. We can all get the crown. But those guys in those races, man, they understand what's on the line. They understand all the years of hard training. They understand all the sacrifices when their friends are... And they have to say, no, I'm training. I can't do that. All the sacrifice, all the hard work, all the exercise, all the sweat, all the blood, sweat, and toil for this event. And they might not win. But boy, they sure run their guts out because they want to. And only one will win. So distinctness of aim. I must keep my mind and my focus on the judgment seat. Isn't that really what it's all about? One day we will all stand before the Lord Jesus. And so my distinctness of aim. Along with that, number four, concentration of purpose. Why am I doing this? What's my motive? And concentrating my focus and my purpose on that finish line, getting through this race, fighting off the imps of hell who want to grab onto my coat and pull me back and fight me every step of the way in the world that's coming this way and I'm going that way. I must have concentrated purpose and focus and just keep going. Don't get sidetracked. And don't slow down. Number five, it goes without saying, activity. There has to be activity. If you're going to run a race, it's got to be some action, right? Activity. There's got to be activity. Pastor tries to get us to understand this all the time. Doing what we learn from here. Not just letting it puff us up with a big head, but learning, seeing what Scripture teaches us, and then applying it to our lives and doing it. Actually doing what we've learned from Scripture. That's activity. So we must have activity. We can't just sit around. We can't just pretend someone else is going to run for us. We can't pretend like it's all a big joke. We're in a race. We must run, so run. Number six. We must have courage. So I said personal mastery, moderation, distinctness of aim, concentration of purpose, activity, courage. You know, it takes a lot of courage for those athletes to say, oh, sorry, I can't go there. I've got to train in the morning. Oh, well, we'll try to get home early. No. I've got to go to bed at 7:30. Okay, well, you're going to miss a lot of fun. Yeah, that's okay. I've got purpose. See, some of these work together, don't they? They're intertwined. He's having the courage to say no. It's because he understands he has a distinctness of aim and a concentration of purpose. So therefore, I'm saying no to this activity because I must get up in the morning and begin my training. Wow. You see how these traits are very admirable, aren't they? We look at athletes and say, wow, these guys are Their physical fitness is just superb. Caleb's into, you know, physical fitness a bit. And he shows me these YouTube videos that he sees. And these guys, you got to see this. These guys, like, a lot of them are, they're just, I guess the new craze for physical fitness is no longer weight training, it's body weight. And using these bars. So there's like chin-up bars and then parallel bars that you get on and you can do dips. But these guys, they'll be doing dips, but their legs are straight out. So they're holding their legs right out and they're doing these dips. And then they do these pull-up things, but as they're holding on, it's incredible to watch. They're pulling themselves up gradually, but as they're doing it, their legs are just out in the air, of course. They're not standing on anything. They'll put their leg like they're stepping, but as they, it looks like they're landing on a step that's not there. When they step, they pull up. So it gives the illusion that they're stepping up on something. And then they do the other leg and go up a little higher, and they're sort of stepping, but they're pulling themselves up gradually. And then one guy, there's these two bars that are coming out. And he's just holding on to them. And again, his body is like parallel with these bars. And the only thing supporting him are those bars. He's holding his whole body up, and then he starts doing this. Now imagine my legs are up, my feet are in front of me. He's going like this. Back and forth, his whole body going, ooh, ooh. And I'm like, oh my stars, how do you do that? Wow. That's incredible. And much more. There's other ones that are even worse than that. I can't think of them right now, but that's enough to blow me away. It's incredible. I look at that and I admire that. I don't admire it in that I want to do that. I admire it in that if I could be in my Christian life as dedicated and disciplined and have the concentration of purpose, the focus, and the personal mastery that those guys do, I would be a pretty good Christian. Not that I'm trying to outdo someone else, but just in my own race to say, I want to do my best for my Lord. And if I could just do some of what these athletes, these Olympians do in my own Christian life and have that mastery and that purpose and that concentration and that courage and that focus, boy, how much further I could be in my Christian life. So personal mastery, moderation, distinctness of aim, concentration of purpose, activity, courage to say no, having courage just to do this lifestyle. And then number seven, perseverance. That goes without saying, doesn't it? If you're going to do this, you're going to have to just stick it out. Once you decide this is the road I'm taking, then don't give up. Don't quit. Don't look back. Don't turn back. Don't stop running. Give it your all. And again, just run your guts out for Jesus. Amen. Well, let's try to bring it to a close here. Just quickly, the motive of all this. You know, our motive is different. Paul said these guys that run these races, they do it for a corruptible crown. And only one's going to win. But we, an incorruptible crown. A crown of glory. A crown of righteousness. A soul winner's crown. These different crowns that we can... And so as I think about the motive, the two things about the motive. Paul said one here at the very last part of the verse 27. He said, I myself should be a castaway. He said, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm keeping my body under subjection. That's why I'm moderate in all things. That's why I'm keeping my eyes focused on Jesus. That's why I'm running my race. I'm running my guts out. I'm running like crazy. I want to finish this course, this race. Why? Well, one reason he says, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be seen lying on the side of the track because I just gave up and quit. He said, I don't want to do that. My motive is to finish. And his second motive, as I've already alluded to, is to gain a crown. Gain a crown for the Lord Jesus. Well, the reward of success, we looked at the conditions of success, and that was those seven things I mentioned. The reward of the success, these crowns that we can get, obviously, one is its intrinsic value. It's in and of itself. The very fact that I could win something so precious, so lasting, that I could cast at Jesus' feet, the intrinsic value that's just in and of itself there, that's a great reward. But secondly, it's permanence. It's permanence. You know those Olympians, they win their event and they stand up on those blocks in front of the crowds, and boy, they put the crown on their head, and keep in mind it's just olive leaves. Probably in 2 or 3 days it's going to be all dried out and withered and done. And yet all that training and all that effort and all that sacrifice and all that discipline and all that work just for some dried leaves. Wow. How much more should we run and be disciplined and be moderate and have mastery of self? How much more should we, not be caught, not for some dried leaves, but for a crown of value that we can give to the Lord Jesus, and it's permanent. It's eternal. It's forever. Amen. Well, let me just give this admonition here as we finish, an application, you might say. As we consider all that I've said, especially the conditions of success, and I hope you'll think about these. I hope they'll challenge you. Probably the biggest challenge you could ever take on is to decide, I'm going to master myself. That doesn't mean you're going to pump iron or start jogging or any of that. You're just going to say, you know what, I'm going to control me. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as I submit my body to my soul and my soul to the Spirit, my spirit to His Spirit, I then can control this body. If you try to do it in the flesh, you'll fail. You must have the Spirit's help. But if you'll decide to do that, it'll be a huge challenge. But oh, how worth it would be to measure, to weigh, to be careful. Everything you say, watch that little tongue. Everything you do, everything you watch, everything you hear, everything you eat or drink, every place you go, just to be totally in master, just be master yourself. To not do anything that would bring harm to your personal testimony, or of course, to be ashamed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this admonition, I want you to burn with ambition. I want you to think of these Olympian Christians and all the admonitions and all the definitions and the word and the word pictures we saw from this little passage, just 4 or 5 verses. Look at that and say, man, I want to be like that. I want to run my race. I want to run my race. Acknowledge I am in a race. I'm not a spectator. Oh, I might behave like a spectator. But if you're supposed to be running, then run. And we are supposed to be running. And as you consider that passage, say, man, I'm burning with ambition. I want to be all that the Lord wants me to be. And in doing so, I must have personal mastery and moderation and distinctness of aim and concentration of purpose and activity and courage and perseverance. Burning with ambition. Secondly, be watchful. Be watchful. Again, watch what you partake of. Watch for the gainsayers. Watch for those that might slow you down, or watch for the devil's temptations. Just be watchful. Watch as you run. Watch. Of course, watch the finish line also. So burn with ambition to be this kind of a Christian. Be watchful as you do. And thirdly, be enduring and contented. In other words, don't give up. You have to endure. You have to finish. You just have to say, I must cross that finish line. No matter what. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to complete my course. And finish. And get my reward. So that's the challenge to be an Olympian Christian. It challenges me. I hope it's challenging you. I hope you might have an ambition within. Go home tonight and rehearse this in your mind and review these passages and say, wow, yeah, Paul's talking to me. He's talking about me and my race. And I am in a race. And shame on me if I just tiptoe around and goof around, and instead I should be running my guts out. And in order to do that, I've got to be highly trained. I've got to be highly trained, just like Olympians. They train for 10 months. They sacrifice for 10 months. Discipline. These are words that are lost in Christianity these days. Discipline, self-discipline, moderation, mastery, striving. God help us.